There's a key vote today on a major airline merger.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Shareholders of United and Continental will vote today on the airline's proposed merger. The deal could close in 2 weeks if the shareholders approve. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Why do these two airlines want to merge?
Well, Bill, at this point, mergers seem to be about the only way to get more market share. Continental and United say they'll be able to attract more business travelers. United has a strong presence in the Midwest, West Coast, and over the Pacific. Continental is strong in Texas and along the East Coast. And plus, it has a lot of routes to Europe and Latin America.
Well, we've seen a lot of airlines get together, Nancy. How effective have those partnerships been?
Well, it's mixed. Remember, American Airlines merged with TWA during the recession of 2001. American dropped TWA's St. Louis hub after a few years. It also furloughed most of TWA's workers. So that merger may have been good for those airlines, but it wasn't good for their employees. U.S. Airways and America West merged in 2005, and their unions still don't get along.
And if United and Continental team up, will passengers notice any difference?
Well, the airlines say they won't. They say they would continue to operate separately for at least a year after the merger while they wait for permission from the FAA to merge their fleets. But some passengers expect there will be changes, things like higher fares and fewer flights. And that's why several dozen passengers have joined together to file a lawsuit trying to block the deal. A federal judge in San Francisco is scheduled to hear closing arguments in that case today.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Today, the Securities and Exchange Commission will tackle a loophole in bank regulations, one that came to light during the financial crisis. This loophole allows a practice known as window dressing. Marketplace's John Dimsdale explains.
Sifting through the Lehman Brothers collapse, SEC investigators found the bank's accountants were hiding its debts. Just before a quarterly finance report was due, Lehman would pay down a lot of its debt, report that snapshot to the SEC, and then reborrow the money.
I was not aware that this practice was going on.
David Reuter was chairman of the SEC in the late 1980s.
In fact, I was somewhat surprised when I learned that Lehman Brothers had been involved in that practice.
But it wasn't just Lehman. Columbia Law School's John Coffey says other big banks were doing the same thing.
This is a game of cosmetically changing your numbers in order that you have a healthier-looking ratio as of the last day of the quarter, even though that particular state of affairs will last only a matter of hours.
The result, banks looked more solvent and safer than they really were. The SEC is considering requiring banks to report an average of their borrowings throughout the quarter. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And these are the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher today in Asia and Europe. Shares of the Dutch vaccine maker Crucell are up 50%. And why? Because it's in talks to be bought by a little American company called Johnson & Johnson. Yesterday, FedEx said it's cutting 1,700 jobs. Not exactly a sign of optimism. Still, the Dow Industrials added 22 points, 0.2% to close at 10,594. The Wall Street Journal reports some of this country's biggest technology companies are trying to head off a court battle over antitrust charges. The journal says Google, Apple, Intel, Adobe, Pixar, and others are in final talks with the Justice Department over claims they colluded to hold down wages by agreeing not to poach each other's employees.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com. By the new Rosetta Stone, introducing their latest advancement in language learning, version 4 Totali. Information at rosettastone.com/APM. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/publicradio.
Consumer and environmental groups will be watching the Food and Drug Administration starting this weekend. The FDA could, for the first time, approve a genetically modified animal. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Rob Manning reports on this experimental fish.
A company called Aqua Bounty wants to grow Atlantic salmon faster and bigger. They plan to do that by injecting genes into Atlantic salmon eggs from king salmon and a fish called an eel pout. Former Aqua Bounty consultant Val Giddings says the hybrid fish is cheaper to raise.
Cutting time to the market in half and reducing feed requirements by 10% to 20%, you know, those are significant gains that don't require further explanation.
But environmental groups worry the fish would wreak havoc with the West Coast's dwindling salmon populations. Giddings says the GMO salmon would be kept away from the wild population in closed pens. Fisheries economist Astrid Schultz with Oregon-based EcoTrust says fish have escaped from farms in the past. She says scientists commissioned by the FDA singled out GMO salmon as a species to be concerned about.
Their genes that are engineered to accelerate growth could compete more successfully for both food and mates than wild salmon.
More broadly, environmentalists say that going from engineering crops to modifying animals raises big ethical questions. At the very least, environmental and consumer groups want labels on GMO fish. But industry consultant Val Giddings says the fish doesn't need a label because it's safe to eat.
It's very easy to make an emotionally appealing argument. Consumers have a right to know. Consumers have a right to not be misled and have false fears raised.
Giddings and Schultz agree that the FDA will likely approve modified salmon, but officials say it's at least 18 months before they'll get to market. In Portland, I'm Rob Manning for Marketplace.
And finally, here is the entire week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. Airlines are merging helter-skelter. Northwest got bought out by Delta, America West, and U.S. Air, and TWA is no longer there. Today, it just might be decided, will Continental fly United? Soon, there'll be just one airline around, and they'll charge you a fee if you want to sit down. Extend the tax cuts? Yes, but which? Everybody? Just the rich? Tea partiers say cut them all, but they might cut the GOP this fall. Healthcare opponents are showing endurance. You can't make me buy insurance. Honk if you're into Basel III, and I'll see you at marketplace.org. From the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.